It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Through the years, Pittsburgh area sports teams have seen their fair share of team mascots. Some have been embraced by the city, and others haven't quite cut it. I'm joined now in studio by stand-up comedian and city paper columnist Mike Wysocki. He is also heard weekday mornings on the Q92 morning show. He's written a column for the city paper on the best, worst, and handsiest sports mascots in Pittsburgh sports history. Mike Wysocki, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me, Paul. Love to be on the show.
Okay, handsiest sports mascot. What do you mean?
That one was in a reference to the Pittsburgh Penguins mascot, Iceberg, who the last time I went to a game with my girlfriend was kind of getting a little handsy all over her. But that's kind of, I guess that's a benefit for mascots. They can kind of make advances and touch people and get away with it because they're adorable, they're lovable, and they're in a big costume. They're the one sector of society that can get away with a little harassment.
Yeah, I'm sorry that happened to you and your girlfriend.
It wasn't too bad. I didn't want to sound crazy, you know, like I'm jealous of a penguin in a costume.
Everybody's so jealous of a penguin these days.
That's,
you know,
true, yeah. It's a good thing to be right now.
Right, exactly. So, all right, Pittsburgh sports mascots. Pittsburgh, unlike other cities, have we really embraced mascots? It's kind of like with cheerleaders. We don't have a lot of cheerleaders, and we don't, we haven't really done the mascot thing, you know, other than outside of college. The pro teams haven't really done it, have they?
Not too much. I think the best of the bunch is probably the Pirate Parrot, despite his, you know, checkered past in the 80s when he was caught in some drug deals back in the early 80s. But he's kind of grown up since then. He was just wild at that time.
You're referring to the cocaine scandal?
Yes, that the Pirate Parrot was involved in. Kind of a middleman.
Huh?
Yes, he was involved in it. But he's grown up. You know, we make mistakes when we're young. And I think we've forgiven the Pirate Parrot. But he seems to be the favorite. You see him out there a lot. Kids seem to take to him. He's a giant green mascot. What's not to love about him?
Well, it actually makes sense because San Diego had a chicken, which, of course, that is a very popular mascot.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of paved the way for the mascot craze, really, right?
Yes, the San Diego chicken was the first mascot. And then in baseball, anyway, they had it in college before, but it wasn't in professionals. And then I think the Philly Fanatic came in second. And then right after that, in 1979, we had the Pirate Parrot came on board, and they've just been a staple ever since.
Well, it makes sense because, you know, we don't associate chickens with San Diego sports or.
I don't know what that is at all.
The Fanatic, I don't think anybody's ever really ascertained exactly what that thing is. But a pirate, I mean, parrots go with pirates. You know, it's usually perched right on the shoulder.
It makes complete sense, unlike at the other end, the Steelers mascot. Because you would think, I mean, the Steelers run this town, let's face it. They're the most beloved. But Steely McBeam is probably the least loved mascot because we don't need him. We don't need cheerleaders. We don't need him. And I've run into him a few times.
So if we don't need him, why do we have him?
I don't know. It was supposed to be for kids, but they don't even need that. And I've run into Steely a few times, and he's a little bit of a jerk. He's kind of a loner. I did a comedy show one time, and he would keep interrupting it. He was talking to people, and, you know, that's kind of rude during a comedy show. The basic rules are turn off your cell phones and don't talk. But Steely McBeam was going around the cafeteria just...
He talks?
He was socializing with females in a college crowd. It was at Pitt was the show, and just kind of being disruptive and not really caring. I saw him at the St. Patrick's Day, and he's kind of a loner. He's not very well loved. No, people don't run up to him and hug him or anything. It's a weird mascot.
Is it?
Because he looks kind of like Bill Cowher.
Well, that would be, you know, it would make sense to have the mascot look like an iconic coach, but
right.
But you know, you don't necessarily want to run up and hug Bill Cowher, even though we all love him.
He's not really a huggable guy.
Well, I don't think he encourages that. So you wouldn't expect a mascot that looks like Bill Cowher to inspire people to run up and hug him. But you know, it hasn't been that long, so maybe he'll catch on.
Yeah, he started in 2007, so he's still got a little ways to go. The most huggable mascot is actually Carnegie Mellon's. They have a Scotty the Scottish Terrier,
Oh,
an actual live dog.
And is that the dog that Bill Cosby gave?
Unfortunately for him, he's always going to have that stigma. Poor Scotty. He's always going to be attached to that. But it's not his fault. You know, he didn't do anything wrong.
No, he's just a nice old Scotty. Which brings me to the question of, we're talking here with Mike Wysocki about mascots, which he's written about for the city paper. And the question that really came to mind as I did my extensive preparation for this interview was, which are more popular, mascots that are actual things like Scotty, which is, you know, a real life dog, or mascots that are people made up to look like something, like a dog or a parrot?
I think it has to be people that are made up to look like something. So, I think so, because there's only so much that the animal can do. I mean, it's tough to, you can train them, but the other mascots that can become athletic, sometimes they ride three-wheelers and they do kind of acrobatic stuff in the stands, where it's tougher for a live pet. There's not too many of them. Scotty was one, and Point State Park had made, I think this is my favorite one. They had an actual bison.
Right, the bison
in
that
the
was
late '60s,
Black Diamond the bison,
yes,
which was an actual live bison that lived in the fields of South Park.
Yes, he lived when he wasn't on duty, being a mascot for Point State Park. He spent his time in South Park, and he's still they still pay tribute to him. There's pictures of him on the university.
How did they transport him? Would he show up at the football field, for example?
He would show up at the football field, and just the giant truck would come.
How would they? I mean, how do you encourage the bison? You know, kind of give it the old. Yeah, and they come running, or what?
I don't know. I don't know how you herd bison. I don't know if they had an expert bison handler with them or something, but Black Diamond the bison. Yeah, that's a great one.
Whatever happened to old Black Diamond?
He passed away, I believe, in the mid to late 70s or early 80s. I'm not sure the exact time of his death. But he had a good life.
Do we know how he got that nickname? Do we want to know? Black Diamond?
We don't know how he
was
got
good at poker, and he'd always have that, that was Black Diamond ace up his sleeve, eh?
That's what he did, yeah. Let's go with that. I like to believe that.
Okay, sure. Now, other college mascots include the Duquesne Duke, which is, this is an actual person dressed up as a Duke?
He is dressed up as a Duke. He is very handsome mascot, I must say. He's got he wears a top hat. He's very well dressed.
This is an actual person?
It's a mascot of a Duke, I believe.
Oh, so he's got a fake head on?
Yes, and he's 7 feet tall, and he's dressed very formally. He kind of wears a suit. He's got a top hat. It kind of exudes class more than, I believe, any of the other mascots.
Really? Okay.
The Duquesne Duke. Before that, I think they had a bear. That he wasn't as popular.
A bear? Why not?
I know. I don't understand.
They're not the Bears. They're the Dukes. But, you know, let's bring a bear in here, man.
Someone came to their senses and brought in the Duquesne Duke.
I don't. This is before my time. So was this a fake bear or a real bear?
It was a fake bear.
Okay.
Yes.
Unlike the real bison.
Right. Yeah, the only two live ones I found in Pittsburgh were the Scottish Terrier and the bison.
Okay. Do we want to talk about, do we want to waste any of the precious time in this segment, Mike, to talk about Romo, the Robert Morris mascot?
I don't think so. He's very generic. It's almost like they maybe got him at a discount mascot store or something. Just give me one of those. It's not even a virtual likeness of Robert Morris, the man himself. It's just just a guy dressed up, kind of like a generic patriot kind of look to him. It's kind of almost high schoolish, but he goes by Romo, so he kind of has a cool name.
All right, now last but not least, we don't want to forget about the oldest mascot in Pittsburgh sports history, records indicate, and that's Rock, the Pitt Panther mascot, whose career dates back to 1909.
1909, which was not too long after Pitt's first ever football season. And the template's been basically the same for over 100 years. It's just a panther costume. He has the most strenuous job. He wasn't always named Rock. They named him Rock, I believe, in the 90s after a former coach and player. But he has the most physical job because he does push-ups in accordance with how many points Pitt has scored in the game.
Wow.
So if they score 41 points, he's not only just 41 push-ups, it's 41 plus 34 plus 27. So he could do up to 100, 200, 300 maybe push-ups in a game. He has the toughest job of all, and he's 107 years old.
My goodness. Well, he's for 107 years old, he's in pretty good shape.
He is in good shape.
But that is a good mascot. There's a lot of that, in addition to the athleticism, like Iceberg, the Penguin mascot, mm-hmm. he's funny.
Yeah, yeah. It's very likable.
Yeah.
It's those silly eyes. I think that's what endears us to Iceberg.
Yeah.
He has those cartoonish kind of googly eyes.
Right, right. He's so this brings on the question of which is the most popular, which, you know, as we've pointed out during the course of this segment, Mike, there are certain mascots that have really captured the imagination of the fans, and then there are others that just really haven't worked for whatever reason. So which one do you think, out of all these, putting the pressure on you, which one has worked the best?
I have to say the pirate parrot, because like you said, too, it makes the most sense for a pirate to have a parrot. And the Steely McBeam doesn't really make sense. A lot of them others are just kind of either generic or don't make any sense. I think the pirate parrot, I think he's, right now, I think he's the gold standard of Pittsburgh mascots.
Well, you are the gold standard of guys writing about mascots. Mike Wysocki, who you can hear on the Q92 morning show, weekday mornings, he writes a column for the city paper. And you might want to go online or grab a copy of the city paper that has his best, worst, and handsiest mascots in Pittsburgh sports history. Mike Wysocki. And also, he's a stand-up comedian. I didn't want to forget to mention that. Mike Wysocki, thanks for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Paul.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. If you missed any portion of the program or would like to revisit past segments, you can go to our website at wesa.fm. Until next time, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.